You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
From the intensity of grief at Fort Hood, Texas, back in 2009.
Our hearts and prayers go out to those families who have borne the loss of this terrible tragedy. No words can ever fully address your grief and sadness. The Fort Hood community shares your sorrow as we move forward together in the spirit of resiliency.
From that intensity to the clarity of a verdict last week.
The panel of officers seated for the trial of the United States versus Major Nadal Hassan returned a verdict with a unanimous finding of guilty to the first charge of 13 counts of premeditated murder and guilty of 32 counts of the additional charges of attempted premeditated murder.
From that clarity to the certainty of just a little more than 2 hours of jury deliberations needed yesterday to sentence Nadal Hassan to death for those crimes at Fort Hood almost 6 years ago. This is perhaps, though, where the clarity ends. During the Hassan trial, commentators, officers, and military lawyers frequently noted that if there was a case for the death penalty, this was it. What will happen now? Jeffrey Korn is a former Army prosecutor and defense lawyer and a professor at the South Texas College of Law. Jeffrey Korn, welcome.
How are you?
So let's talk for a second about the precedent for the death penalty in the military. And the last execution was 1961. What's transpired since then?
Well, for a period of time, the death penalty was halted because of the Supreme Court decision that it violated the Eighth Amendment. But when the Supreme Court reversed that position, the military resurrected the death penalty process and began trying soldiers and other service members for capital offenses. And there have been a number of cases that have led to a death penalty. But the military appellate courts have been extremely cautious in reviewing those trials and have reversed a number of those death penalties. So at this point, we have five service members on death row before Major Hassan. He is the first officer to be sentenced to death in probably more than a century, and I believe the first physician ever sentenced to death by the military.
So is there a single military death row, and would it be at Fort Leavenworth?
Yes. The maximum security military prison is called the Disciplinary Barracks, and that's at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And they have a death row, and they have a death chamber there. The method of execution is lethal injection. The military police personnel who are responsible for conducting that mission practice it, train on it, and they're prepared to do it whenever the president decides that one of these cases is ready for execution.
Now, I have no particular enthusiasm for either the death penalty or the execution of any defendant, but in this particular case, given just the outrageousness of it and the sort of recklessness of the murder that was committed at Fort Hood, does Hassan's case put him at the front of the line in some sense legally? How's this going to work?
Well, the incredible depravity of the case doesn't necessarily put him at the front of the line. What could speed him up is the nature of the appeal. And a lot will depend on the issues that are presented by the lawyers who represent him, whoever they may be. The Army will detail lawyers to represent him. And unlike the trial, he doesn't have a right of self-representation on appeal. I suspect he'll have civilian lawyers assisting him, including Mr. Galligan, the retired Army colonel and former military judge who was helping him from the beginning of this incident. It's going to take a good bit of time. I would say, though, I don't have enthusiasm for the death penalty either, to be honest with you. But having sat in that courtroom and watched him and having seen his indifference to the human suffering that he inflicted was stunning. And as a former soldier, I fortunately never had to shoot at anybody, but I certainly had to consider it on a number of occasions. And I always felt that if I had to do it, I would do it because I knew it was my duty and it was the right thing to do, but I would regret it immensely. And you would think that someone like Major Hassan would react that way, that he believed what he did was necessary, but he regrets the human suffering he was compelled to inflict. There was no remorse whatsoever from this defendant. And I think if the death penalty is an authorized penalty, and it's not adjudged in a case like this for a defendant like this, then we really have no reason to have it.
Emotional reaction to the Hassan sentence and verdict from Jeffrey Korn, a former Army prosecutor and defense lawyer and a professor at South Texas College of Law. Remind us of what are the differences between the actual carrying out of the execution in the military system versus the civilian system? Is the president involved here?
Well, that is a very significant difference. The Uniform Code of Military Justice, the military's criminal code enacted by Congress, includes a provision that says no sentence of death may be carried out until it is approved by the President of the United States. There's only been one sentence that's been approved by the President since the execution of Gary Gilmore in 1961, and that was President George W. Bush towards the end of his term. He did approve a sentence to death, but then there was a writ of habeas corpus to a federal court, and the sentence was stayed, and President Obama has not approved any. And that's going to take a long time because there'll be numerous appeals before it ever gets to that point. But if it does, I think Major Hassan's case is going to be the military analog of Timothy McVeigh. I think whoever is in office in the White House when that case is ready for approval will have a very difficult time not approving the sentence and ordering the execution.
Jeffrey Korn, former Army prosecutor and defense lawyer, professor at the South Texas College of Law on the Nidal Hassan death penalty verdict and sentence. Jeffrey Korn, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So we'd love to know from you if it's worth it for the United States to remain invested in the Middle East. One of you in Fairbanks, Alaska, no, because we have our own problems in our own homeland to get done. I don't want to hear a future speech that entails a few more major cities are bankrupt, but the rest of the world is doing great with American money. And hear from Eugene, Oregon, only minimally. I think we have several reasons to be interested in the security of the region. However, I also would like to see military dollars spent differently, although it may have no budgetary correlation realistically. As a kindergarten teacher, I hope for a time when more of the budget would be spent on education reform. Love to know what you think. 877-8 My Take. Stay with us.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily workouts are designed to improve memory and attention, dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. It's all at Lumosity.com.